This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:46. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Joined this morning for the Israel Report with Grant de Graaf. Grant, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. And it's a great day here in Jerusalem. We have sunny skies and no chance of rain. How is your morning? How is your sunset?
The sunset, sunrise, absolutely gorgeous. We're heading towards spring, so we are happy here as well. Grant, a lot to talk about. What is happening with the ICC case in The Hague against Israel?
Well, yes, Howard, over 60 filings in the case relating to arrest requests for Netanyahu, Defense Minister Gallant and Hamas officials, and approximately 50% are supporting the warrant and 50% opposing the warrant. So this is quite a complicated case, and it looks like the proceedings are going to be extended. So don't hold your breath. We're not expecting any type of decision soon, and I think it could be quite protracted. So I just wanted to update you on that. I would like to move on to the main event, and that is Netanyahu's Congress speech.
Let's do
that. Which is being described as epic. I mean, the speech has been described as pitch perfect and electrifying, garnering 58 standing ovations and breaking previous records of 28 set in 2015. Now, despite a New York Times report suggesting erosion of bipartisan support, real-time reactions in Congress told a different story and reflected strong unity. Now, Netanyahu compared the October 7th attacks to experiencing 29 9/11s, underscoring the severity of the massacre. He introduced several heroes from October the 7th. And I think that that's quite important because the speech, I think, was critical from an international perspective in that, believe it or not, there are most people actually don't know the individual stories of what actually happened and the heroes. They may hear some humming or some background music, but they don't actually know the real picture. And I thought it was very important for him to unfold like exactly what happened. And he introduced, they were obviously present, but he introduced four heroes, the first being Lieutenant Avichar Reuven of Ethiopian descent. And he didn't have a car on October the 7th, so he put on his uniform and ran 8 miles to the front line.
It's incredible. That story was just remarkable. I didn't know that story prior to. In fact, that was probably the one part of the speech that I heard something a bit new. But it was an incredible story.
Very inspiring. Then there was Master Sergeant Ashraf Al-Bakhiri, a Bedouin soldier from the Israeli Muslim community, who first defended his base and then rushed straight to protect the residents of Kibbutz Be'eri. So also, like, he was there and, you know, in his uniform. It was just very impressive to see, you know, their presence and them showing exactly who they were and hearing what they'd done. Then there was Lieutenant Asa Safa, who fought as an officer in the tank corps and was wounded in battle, protecting his fellow soldiers from a grenade. He lost an arm and the sight on one eye, and he's scheduled to return to action as a commander of a company. And also, like, very impressive. And then there was Lieutenant Jonathan Ben Hamo, who lost a leg in Gaza and continued to fight. And you know, he stood up there with waving his crutch.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just like he had this big smile on his face. And it was just like, it was very touching and moving to see the whole, you know, everything unfold. So I think that, and there are a lot of people that actually don't know that. Those are just like four stories, like out of like hundreds that actually happened on that day. Now, some of the anti-Israeli government activists called it a political theatre and criticised the lack of commitment to a hostage deal. However, in Israel, the picture on the ground is that there is strong unity in support of Netanyahu's address. He gave a vision outlining his perspective or what he saw Gaza being in the future, a demilitarized and de-radicalized zone, emphasizing that Israel wants no occupation but must maintain security control to prevent future threats. And he said that when we fight Hamas, we fight Iran, we're not only protecting ourselves, we are protecting you. Now, that's something which you and I understand, which we've heard like for
Maybe that's what it is, because I was saying a little bit earlier, I didn't particularly love his speech, primarily because I've heard everything before. We've heard the quips, we've heard the useful idiots, we've heard the KFC. Yeah. We know we've cried already along the Noah Argamani story. And maybe one of our listeners pointed it out that maybe people don't know these things. We assume that everybody knows them, but actually they don't. So this was that opportunity. So maybe it wasn't about me and others who have followed so desperately closely the Israel story since October the 7th.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that also it was very well structured, the whole speech, you know, that like pulled you in, you know, with the heroes and like told you about how serious the event is and the implication consequences internationally. So I thought it was extremely well structured. Now, just to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, former ambassador to the UN for the USA, John Bolton, has said the only way to have peace and security in the Middle East is to have the Ayatollahs replaced by another regime, a regime with which the Iranian people select on their own accord. Mm. Now, I mean, very bold statement, and I think that basically reflects what you've been saying all along, Howard, that really, that unless you know you deal with the head of the snake, you actually, you know, just twiddling your thumbs.
Yes.
So, you know, I just want to know from your perspective how you would see this unfold. Because to achieve this, I mean, this would really mean like a world war. That's really what it would mean.
It really would. But my worry is that the longer it's left, we're starting to see an alignment of nations alongside Iran. So a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have had Russia's support. Now you've got Russia, Iran, China. We're starting to see this very, very powerful alliance of nations that might well stand beside each other, who all feel ostracized from the Western countries and who are supporting each other through arms. The longer we leave it, not we, the longer it is left, the more dangerous this body becomes. And ultimately, we are going to find ourselves in a situation like during the Second World War, where you have the Allied forces and you know, and the axis of evil. This is what it is starting to look like. And the longer it's left, the more weapons are developed, the more strategies are defined, and I think more dangerous, particularly for Israel, which is likely to be the battleground of this campaign. In fact, not likely, it is already, because we're seeing it from Syria, from Lebanon, from Yemen, from Gaza, and you know, with the support of certainly of Iran and now potentially other nations. That to me is my worry. So I understand that to deal with it then was dangerous, to deal with it now is more dangerous, but what's going to happen in a year's time, what will it look like then? So that's my almost simplistic understanding of it.
Now, I would definitely support that, Howard, and I certainly have you on my team, you know, in terms of dealing with this. I think it's very well thought out, and I definitely support those sentiments. Now, just moving on, like, I think that this statement, which Bibi made regarding the Abraham Accords expansion, was something which was new And I think really the objective here is to try and coordinate or get a coalition together with, you know, some of the Arab states, which they already have, some of them they already have on board, together with other countries in to actually deal with the Iranian threat. And, you know, I think that would probably mean like some very aggressive lobbying. Mm. You know, I don't know whether Jared Kushner and Ambassador David Friedman would come back on board, because Jared, I understand, has hung up his boots. So,
and he was instrumental in this from what I've gathered.
Yes. Yes, but don't forget, there were quite a few players in this. I met on the way, by the way, like I must have met like at least 10 individuals who played a crucial role in the actual the signing and creation of the treaty. Now, just moving on to Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is a slightly different, because they actually have expressed in the past, and then we were quite close to doing a deal with them prior to October the 7th, they've expressed in the past the apprehension about doing a treaty. They actually want something in Congress. They want a bill which has been passed in Congress, because they are concerned that presidents come and go, and that they are concerned that it may not hold. Mm. Now, to achieve that, you actually need a two-thirds majority in the Senate, which is quite a tough call. And that was like a major concern. And so I'm a bit concerned if that's still going to be the requirement, that may not be achievable. But I guess that we're going to leave the fancy footwork to the guys at the top to do. Now, just one other point was that China brokered a deal known as the Beijing Declaration, aiming to unite Hamas and Fatah and to secure $70 billion for Gaza's reconstruction. So that actually goes completely against the whole notion of eradicating Hamas. You know, so it's basically setting up a cold war here. So I want to hear your thoughts on it. You did sort of indicate that we need to deal with the issue now, sooner than later, and this seems to like actually support sentiment there.
Well, the other issue is that Hamas and the PA, Fatah, have never successfully collaborated, really, and they can sign this agreement in order to access funds, which is probably cynically, in my view, what it's about. But the reality and the chance of them working together now, when they've had all this time and decades to try and find a way to work together, is I think very unrealistic. That would be my thought. But it's really simply about the funding. What do you think?
Yeah, very much on the spot. I think at the end of the day, it's gonna really amount to what sort of impact the money is going to have on their thinking. Just to end off, lastly, I want to just bring up some interesting points. El Al was founded in 1949 as the state's national airline. And I'm sure you do know, but they were actually very intimately involved with the Adolf Eichmann extraction, you know, the Nazi criminal from Argentina, and they dressed him up as crew, and they passed him, they drugged him, and they passed him off as a sick staff member, and they managed to actually extract him from Argentina. It's also incredible. El Al also has an anti-missile defense system, and it's in the Guinness Book of Records for having the most number of passengers on the flight, which is like, you know, 1,000, when they did Operation Solomon, and 14,000 Ethiopian Jews were extracted. One of the pilots on El Al is someone by the name of Hannah, and she's a mother of 7. So if anyone travels on El Al, is on her flight, you're all invited to have a coffee and rogala with her in the cockpits.
Absolutely incredible. That is where we leave it. What an amazing story. That is Grant de Graaff. He brought us the Israel Report this morning. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Hi, it's Barry Cohen from the Blue Agency. Israel is currently facing one of its biggest challenges ever. All of Klal Yisrael is praying for the safety of our soldiers and the return of the hostages. We hope and pray that our soldiers and security forces will prevail, and that they will all return home speedily and triumphant. We hold the hands of our clients and friends who have children serving in Tzahal, who are protecting Israel and Jews around the world. May Hashem protect us all.